Translation, Shukadeva Goswami continued, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta Dev, being very much pleased with the prayers offered by Chitraketu, the king of the Vidyadharas, replied to him as follows, O best of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Parichit. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yanada Dangaro Bhyamte, Vyahetam Me Manushasanam, Samsido Sitaya Rajan, Vidyaya Darshanaschame. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Ananta Dev replied as follows, O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect. First quote. The perfection of life is to be spiritually educated and to understand the existence of the Lord and how He creates, maintains, and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. When one is perfect in knowledge, he can develop his love of Godhead through the association of such perfect persons as Narada and Angira and the members of their disciplined succession. Then one is able to see the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Although the Lord is unlimited, by His causeless mercy, He becomes visible to the devotee, who is then able to see Him. In our present position of conditioned life, we cannot see or understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabaved Galayam Indrayai Sevan Mukhe Ijivado Swayameva Spuratyada. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. If one takes to spiritual life under the direction of Narada Muni or his representative, and thus engages himself in the service of the Lord, he qualifies himself to see the Lord face to face. The Brahma Sanghita states, Premanjanakcharita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva hidayeshivalo kayanti yamshama sundaram achinta guna sarupam govindam adi purusham tangaham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shamasundara, situated within the heart of the devotee. One must follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Thus one becomes qualified and later sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead as evinced by Maharaj Chitraketu. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Why have you all gathered here this time in the morning? Because you want to hear about Krishna. You have two concerns, and they are present in this audience to varying degrees. First of all, there is the concern for relief from material existence. Secondly, there is the concern about attraction to Krishna. Is it possible? In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Chatra Vidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukatina Arjuna. Four types of persons approach Krishna. So you must check and see which category you're in mostly. Chatur Vidha, four types. They come to Krishna. They all have Sukriti. They all have auspicious merit. Kriti means merit, and Su means auspicious. So anyone who tries to approach Krishna has auspicious merit. And They come in four categories. They're distressed. They're curious about spiritual topics. They want spiritual knowledge. Or they're looking for a more comfortable lifestyle, wealth, and comfortable circumstances. So you should see, which category are you in? Try to understand your motives. Once you try to understand your motives, you can better understand what's happening to you in bhakti yoga. Because bhakti yoga means to purify the motives till you get to that scary point when you only want to satisfy Krishna. And then you disappear, right? You lose track of yourself and you head out to Never Never Land because you're no longer trying to gratify your desires. What is our fear of Krishna based on? We should face the facts that many of us are afraid of Krishna. We're worried Krishna will take away from me the things that are so good for me. Krishna will take away from me the things I need to please him. Krishna will take away the circumstances which are essential for me to make spiritual advancement. Therefore, you've got to keep yourself protected while serving Krishna. Just like what do you call those guys who take care of beehives?
Apiarists.
Just like an apiarist, they wear bee-tending equipment they wear. You know, the whole suit. So that's how we go about our devotional service, many of us. Okay, I'm serving Krishna, but I'm protected. You know, in case Krishna tries to sting me, you never know. Just like the apiary, you know, he knows. Any moment the bees can swarm out and attack him, so we also know that. We're wary about Krishna. Any moment Krishna can take everything away. The very things I need to serve him. Any moment Krishna can make it difficult for me to serve him. So we're very wary, we're cautious. Don't give too much to Krishna. Keep an eye on Krishna. Watch him out of the corner of your eyes. Watch your back. Krishna may try to do it to you, pull the rug out from under you. Even after you've served him. This is the fear, the paranoia that's in the back of our mind. I've been doing a little service for Krishna. Or even I've been doing a lot of service for Krishna. But you know that Krishna, you can't trust him. He could just cause a devastation at any moment just to get us to cry out in pure dependency. Why does Krishna have to do all that to us just to get us to cry out his name in utter dependency? Actually, we're thinking that's kind of egotistical of Krishna. He puts us through so much just so we'll call out the name like a child calling for its mother. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But of course, Krishna is God. I mean, there has to be a God. I'm not an atheist. And Krishna does look like a good bet. You know, I couldn't find anything about God anywhere else, you know. No one gives me any information about God. Sometimes we think that, well, maybe there's nothing super special about Krishna consciousness. I mean, people are trying to serve God in so many different ways, in so many different churches and religions. And I've seen some good people, and I've also seen some bad people who claim to be, you know, connected to Krishna, but I see they've done bad things. So maybe, you know, we should understand that bhakti is present everywhere, in all forms of religious expression. Yes, it is true. Traces of bhakti are present in all forms of religious expression. But remember, bhakti means love and devotion. Actually, Bhishma Dev describes bhakti as when all your affection, all your reposed on one person, one object. That is bhakti. Now, that means in order for there to be bhakti, there has to be an object to repose all that love and devotion upon. Now, what is that object? This you can't find any information anywhere else. give us a complete description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that I can show bhakti. Otherwise, you know, it's almost like shadow boxing. Everyone knows what shadow boxing is? You don't have a real target for your bhakti, so how can there be real religion? So yes, we can be very liberal. Survivalum sampado dharma, yato bhaktir hokshite, ohaitikiya patyeta, yenatma supersedity. That religion is most suitable. It is first class, which allows you to have unmotivated, uninterrupted love. So sometimes people say, well, which are you trying to say that Bhagavad Dharma, Krishna consciousness is better than Christianity, or it's better than this, or better than that? So, generally we answer, Savaibhum Sampado Dharma. The Paradharma, the supreme Dharma, is that which brings out the living entity's love of God without any material cause, no material issue, no reason. And apratiyata, no interruption. You see, when there's material desires, that's what interrupts your service. There's a direct relationship between the material cause or motivation of your activity and the interruption that will follow. If you want to erase the eruptions in your, if you want to erase the interruptions in your service, you have to erase the material desires. So we can say, yes, for Paradharma, the supreme way of religion, it can be seen by how it produces first-class love of God. But the point is, how can you have first-class love of God if you have no understanding of what is God? That is the point. So therefore we ask, you want real religion in the world, then you must give real knowledge of what is God. Then there's some hope for you to repose all your affections. Just like many of you are married, you know that you have your spouse, and the spouse has qualities, the spouse has a form, the spouse has a name, activities, and those things, sometimes they attract you. Therefore there's relationship. Everyone aspires for the sweetness of fresh romance. They want to be attracted to someone's fresh qualities and activities. Now, how can you have religion unless you know the qualities and activities and form of the Supreme Lord? There's nothing to attract you. This is the problem. Still, even just the shadow of loving Krishna has some attraction to it. Therefore, people can simply think, I want to love God, I'm for God, and they have no idea, but still, they get a glimmer of something. That's how powerful attraction to Krishna is. Just a reflection of Krishna, just a hazy, smoky extension of attachment to Krishna produces some benefit. So therefore you have so many religions around the world. They give some hazy approximation. And because they are hazy approximations of the real thing, therefore there is some benefit. But you notice that people just are not coming out of material attachment in spite of this religious rituals. That is because they have no idea what is God. What is sustaining us in Krishna consciousness is we actually have knowledge of God and we are trying to become attracted. But we have this problem of the material energy, that we are attracted to the material energy. It's our hang-up. It's our disease we're trying to get over. Just like, you know, there are drug addicts. I'm sure there are drug addicts in Perth. And sometimes they try to kick the habit. So anyone fleeing the material world, trying to take shelter of Krishna, they're trying to kick the habit of material addiction. What is the symptom of material addiction? That you find the material energy to be attractive. In of itself, as if it exists separate from Krishna. Actually, the material energy only has some illusion of attractiveness because it's coming from Krishna. Bhakti yoga means, okay, recognize the attraction for where it's really coming from. It's not there in the material energy, it's there in Krishna. So we need to rehabilitate ourselves. We need to kick the habit, and it's tough sometimes. Because sometimes we feel that lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion are kicking us. Some days you just think, how can I make it? Day after day after day, this struggle, saying no to my senses, trying to control my mind. How can I do this day after day after day? Is this going to be the rest of my life? Just saying no to my senses? I don't know if I can go on like this. It's just, and you begin to wonder, is this really psychologically normal? Just to say no to your senses all the time? Am I supposed to just walk around biting my lip? Actually, these enemies of lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion can be defeated, but it does take work. That is our career. The negative aspect of our career is to defeat these enemies. The positive aspect of our career is to be attracted to Krishna. So these enemies can be defeated. You just got to realize that every day you're going to work at it. But if you go about the job in the right way, it'll be done. But don't think that it's, you know, okay, I worked today on getting rid of these things, so tomorrow I can take a break. No. Day after day, you prepare yourself to deal with these things. It is your career. Now, what's wrong with day after day dealing with these things so you can be peaceful? You don't complain about if you go to work day after day or if you have to go to university day after day. You realize that people who are working in this material world, you know what they do? Was there Shivananda? He has his own business. Anyone who's working a job? Yes. So, you know, are the people changing their job every month to get a new exciting job every month? No. They'd be so happy just to get a steady job these days. And then what do you do when you get a steady job? You just go day after day after day after day after day, year after year after year. Just think if you're a bus driver in Perth. What are you laughing? A lot of people are bus drivers. How do you get around in the city, you know? You know what a bus driver does? I mean, what hope is there for their advancement? You think that after 20 years they're going to become, you know, corporate executive of the bus company? Does it work like that? No. They drive a bus for 30 years. You can't conceive of that. 30 years driving a bus, 5 days a week. You don't think about these things. That's what goes on. I know some old men. They were bus drivers. What happens when you hit your 60s, I think, then you become a supervisor, something like that. And you supervise the schedules of the other bus drivers. You get to sit in an office. That's it. And to get to that post, you've had to put in about 30 years, 25 years of being a bus driver before you can be a supervisor and sit in the office and direct the other bus drivers, make sure they're on time. That's it. That's as high as you go. Just think, 30 years. But you'll do that in order to get the money. Because you have your family, or your attempt at a family, and there are things you want to buy, you want a credit card, you want to pay your mortgage, you want to pay for your car, so you have to do that. But why is it that when it comes to the career of coping with ourselves and purifying ourselves, we're so lazy? Oh, this is too much. I mean, I thought I dealt with lust, anger, and greed yesterday. Now it's another day and I got to deal with it again? Is this going to be my whole life? But when it comes to going to the same old routine job, well, you got to do that. You know, you got to put food on the table, you got to pay the rent. But when it comes to the real career of purifying yourself, oh, I can't take this every day. Really? So I think that we will gain great encouragement when we realize that the enemies of the soul can be defeated, but you have to put in a daily effort, and then you'll be peaceful. You are struggling to regain your eternal spiritual existence. You're not struggling simply to get a paycheck. You're struggling to get to revive your original existence. And Krishna wants to help. But the main way that we deprive ourselves of Krishna's help is that we become discouraged. And then we don't want to listen to anyone or anything. You just seal yourself off. I realize what it's like. I'm just going to have to struggle every day. I'm not ready for that. No one can help me. No one understands me. I can't go on like this. I don't want to tell anybody that I can't go on like this. I'll just figure out my own solution. I'll come to the Sunday feast at least. Oh no, now they're thinking of changing the Sunday feast. I'll have to go to the temple on Saturdays where all the devotees are. Well, maybe I'll just come for the festivals. In this way, you begin to take yourself gradually out of the picture because you're discouraged. And how are you discouraged? You discourage yourself. I can't do this day after day. Biting my tongue. I thought that if I would chant Hare Krishna, then, okay, after that, no more material desires. Now I'm finding out I have to put in a lifetime career of cleansing myself. Well, what's wrong with that? You spent many births making yourself dirty, so why not just one lifetime cleaning yourself up? The fact is that purification is pleasure. There's a direct relationship between purification and pleasure. How many of you know that? The last thing you think is that purification is related to pleasure. When you hear the word purification, you think, oh, that's... Who is it? Hari Pran's mother's friend when we were at the retreat weekend here in Perth early in the year. I was in our discussion group. I was discussing purification, and I think her name was Joy. She just blurted out, "Purify? Who wants to be purified?" You said a dirty word. I'm 50 years old. I just got rid of my husband. I'm ready to go for it. Who wants to be purified? This is the work of Kali Yuga. Job well done. You think purification means pain. Why? Because we're puffed up. How many of you think you're puffed up? No one here thinks you're puffed up. You all think you're very humble and very pious, right? Very devotionally inclined. Well-bred, well-raised. No, we are puffed up. And what's the first symptom of being puffed up? To think you actually know what pleasure is. Just think about it. In order to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, you have to accept that you don't know what pleasure is. And that's quite humiliating. Once you accept that you don't know what pleasure is, then you can start to do something with your life. Now, what it is that's bugging you every day? What is it that you're struggling against? It's your puffed upness that you know what pleasure is, and your frustration that you can't do those things if you want to be Krishna conscious. So you're really struggling against your puffed up nature. I know what pleasure is, and I can't do those things because Krishna doesn't like it. I know what's good for me. I know what I could do, and I can't do it, because you're not supposed to. So it produces this tension in you. And it's all based on being puffed up. Now, if you want to be peaceful, just accept that you don't know what pleasure is. Then things start to clear up. Then you realize, I'm being harassed by impulses from my past life when I was ignorant of what real pleasure is. So I'm going to have to tolerate that due to my own misuse of independence, due to my sinful activities, I have this residue still lingering on now. So I'll tolerate that with humility, realizing that I don't know what real pleasure is. As soon as you think you know what real pleasure is, then you're easily caught by Maya. Yes, you know what it is, and I've got it for you. What you want, I've got it. But when you think, I don't know what pleasure is, then you're open for Krishna. You see, the material energy attacks you based on pride. You know. You know. Maya pats you on the back. You know, boy. You know what you need. And he pats yourself. But I can't. But I want to.
But I can't.
Or maybe just a little bit, not a lot. Maybe a little more. Oh, just a little bit more. So this is what's going on. We are proud. We actually think we know what pleasure is. Therefore, Krishna is described as a Kinchana Gotra. The property, the Lord is the property of the materially exhausted. Materially exhausted means you're willing to admit you don't know what pleasure is. Now that's hard. You try it. Go look in the mirror. They have any mirrors in the Brahmacharya ashram? Yes. In the old days, we wouldn't have a mirror in the ashram. Maya, looking at yourself. It's pretty easy these days. Be around one of those days, one day, month, or day?
Yeah,
little one for the chilak, and you know, just quickly, huh? Don't want to look at yourself too much. It's Maya. I remember traveling Sankirtan, as soon as, you know, sometimes we'd have to stay in motels. What's the first thing you do as soon as you go into a motel? Cover the mirror. They still do that now? Yeah. We cover the mirror. Look at yourself, you know, part of the conception of life. So, anyway, you find a mirror and look at yourself in the mirror and just say to yourself, I don't know what real pleasure is, and see if you believe it. I have no idea what real enjoyment is. And see if you really believe what you say. If you don't, to some degree, really believe what you say, that means you have to do some work. And how do you work? To cleanse that impediment? You have to convince yourself through Prabhupada's books. Purport after purport, he's deprogramming you of your illusion. You have to work through hearing and chanting about Krishna. And you have to work through rendering practical service to Krishna to get over this hang-up that you know what pleasure is. It's pride. You're being beaten over the head at every step, and still you think, I know what pleasure is. Just look at all the people when you go to the center of birth. They're doing all the devilish delights of Kali Yuga that haunt you. And look at their face. So they're doing all these things, and you can see the result. Yet the amazing thing is that you still get haunted by these things. So just think, what are the results of these actions? I was speaking in Dunedin, New Zealand, a few weeks ago, and about 40 university students in the program. So I asked them, how many of you think you know what pleasure is? And out of 40 people, no, 30 people, yeah. Right away you can see our problem in preaching Krishna consciousness. That's the problem. I know. Yeah. I'm fully in the grip of passion and ignorance. I know what enjoyment is. Now I ask, how many of you think that you have no idea what real pleasure is? Out of 40 people, maybe 5 people kind of put their hands up. Looking around to make sure anybody wasn't, you know, watching them, you know. But they actually were humble. They are candidates for Krishna consciousness. They were willing to admit that, I don't know, I've tried, I'm just not happy. But 30 out of 40? We know. This is the way the world is, and this is what's causing problems. You see, it is very difficult becoming Krishna conscious these days, and I'll tell you why. Because there is no sentiment these days for vairagya, for detachment. Prabhupada mentions that in this chapter earlier, that during the 60s, in Western countries, it was a cool thing to just, you know, drop your material attachments and try to do something different. It's not like that now. So that's made preaching difficult. Now, I don't think it'll always be easy street like that for so-called material prosperity. No. It comes in waves. We've just gone through a real tough spell where people think the material energy is wonderful and it's going to provide them everything. Whereas in the 60s and 70s, even though people had so much in most Western countries, they were fried and disgusted with it. And so even though their parents were wealthy, they're even walking away from it. It's just a phase they went through, and of course Prabhupada took advantage of that. But the past 10 or 20 years hasn't been like that. I saw one university survey done in the USA of all the university students. It was done in 1969, and it was done just last year. So in 1969, the survey revealed that the number one issue for 80% of the university students then was they had to find a meaningful philosophy of life. It's 1969. 80% of the students, that was their number one goal. I have to find a meaningful life philosophy. I have to find out the meaning of life. And 30% said their number one goal was to, 20% said their number one goal was to make money. Now it's 1999. They took the same poll of all university students in the States, and you can just see the difference. The number one goal for 80% of the students was this time how to make as much money as possible. And then you had 10% with another goal, and just another 10% said they wanted to find out the meaning of life. So it went from 80% down to 10. So there you see what makes preaching difficult these days. Everybody thinks the gateway to happiness is uncontrolled senses. But, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, it was cool to kind of just walk away from material attachments. Yeah. It was cool to have a guru. The Beatles would sing about it in music, you know. You know, meditation was a cool thing. You know, people wore madras shirts and lighting incense, and it was a cool thing. So this created a very favorable circumstances for people to come to Krishna consciousness, at least for a time. It didn't mean they were super sincere, but at least it meant they would try it out. I remember what book distribution was like in the 60s and 70s, early 70s. You just go out with books and look for you know, young people with long hair, and that was almost everybody. If they had long hair, you knew they were going to buy a book. You forgot all about the adults. And every young person had long hair and bell-bottom pants. And the ones who didn't, they were the freaks. Every once in a while, you'd see a young person with, you know, short hair and normal clothes, and not wearing purple pants, and fringe coming off their sleeves. That was rare. So, you can ask your mother about it. So, the straight people were the freaks. So you just avoided them, and just, you know, you're a Sankana Bodhi, you had your books, you just, okay, where are the long hairs? There's one there. There's another one there. It got so bad that even the Sankana Bodhis were going out on Sankirtan wearing long-haired wigs, you know? And hippie clothes, and that's when Prabhupada put a stop to it. But you're going back to your hippie ways. So, that's the scene there. So, thousands of people came forward to be Krishna conscious, at least for a time. As we can see now, they weren't all pure devotees. Over a period of time, many went away. Prabhupada took a heavy load, initiated 5,000 disciples. So a lot of people just came based on that sentiment. Still, they got eternal connection to Krishna. So we don't see that kind of sentiment. We haven't seen it recently. We've seen a very deep period of material attachment where things look like they're going to work. People have become more and more lusty and passionate, and they're glorifying it. Passion is no longer like a bad word. It's a very good thing. People glorify, you know, you have a passionate life. be as passionate as possible. There's no incentive to be detached. There's no popular spirit of walking away from material attachments. Everyone thinks that's crazy these days, young and old. Therefore, it's made it very difficult to spread Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is based on vairagya vidya, detachment and knowledge. Back in the 60s and 70s, everybody had an easy time reading Bhagavad Gita. It's like Dasari can tell you. He was a hippie, you know. He got a hold of a Bhagavad Gita. He just sat down and read it cover to cover. That was not an unusual thing. Nowadays, it's very unusual. How many of you came to Krishna consciousness by getting a Bhagavad Gita and just sitting down and reading it cover to cover in a couple of days? Anyone? One out of the whole room. Back then it was normal. Because, you know, it was cool. Knowledge of India, hidden knowledge of the East, you know. It was a trendy thing. So that kind of trendy mood in the material nature, it helped people for a time. It didn't mean they were completely sincere, but it did help bring many people through the doors of the temples. Now in the 90s, it's been tough. Because people have full faith in material enjoyment. But don't think it's always going to stay like that. Krishna knows how to shape the rug. So everyone starts jumping again. Material prosperity, the hope for it never lasts. So sometimes you have to tolerate. Just like you have to tolerate your material desires, you also have to tolerate periods in history when people are so caught up in material enjoyment that they have no consideration of spiritual life. So we've gone through that period. But Krishna wants the living entities to come back to him, so he arranges disturbances in nature so that, once again, people start knocking on the door. Where is Krishna? You'll see that happen. Just see how things change so quickly. For decades now, Australia and Indonesia were peaceful together. They made up their differences. And then, overnight, the threat is looming in Australia. We could be invaded by the Indonesians. And we don't have an army. Now they're spreading propaganda everywhere in all the news media. We only spend 1.8% on defense. We'll never be able to defend our land in that way. Look at our aircraft. Outdated ancient F-111s. Can't even get parts from them. We've got 4,000 men over there in Indonesia, and we don't even have enough backup personnel for them. We can't even keep them on the field because we don't have enough backup support, you know, people. Oh, so now what are they talking about now? They're even mentioning the word conscription. Oh. How does that word, harmonize with your beach holiday? Conscription. Have they had that in Australia anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, conscription. That means anybody under a certain age has to go. That shakes people up real quick. That was another reason why the young people during the 60s and 70s wanted to turn everything upside down, because they didn't want to go to war. They would do anything to avoid that, even become a Hare Krishna. It's a fact. It is a true story. They call it the draft in the USA. They call it that here. They call it, let's use the word conscription. Yeah. In the USA, they call it the draft. So, they have the draft board, and they just take everybody who's over a certain age, unless they're very sick or they're crazy or something, have some defect. So, the draft board found out that there were many devotees in the Second Avenue Temple, Prabhupada's first temple, who, you know, weren't in the army. So the draft inspector came. This looks like a potential hotbed of draft dodgers, they call it. So he just stayed for a couple hours, you know, trying to see, you know, is this a real religion or are they just faking it? So then, after a couple hours, he heard about the regular principles, and he said, This definitely, this is, he said, this definitely is a real religion. It's easier to go and fight than follow these rules. That was it. And they didn't bother Prabhupada's men after that. It's easier to go fight in Vietnam and follow these four rules. That's what the guy said. Better go to the jungles of Vietnam and die than to control your senses. So they never bothered anyone after that. So all the young people, they were so riled up that I will be sent to the jungles of Vietnam to die in a war no one understands. So that pressed them, that fear pressed them to look for solutions. What kind of world do we live in? I've got to get to the meaning. I'm 18 years old and I could be over on the other side of the ocean in the jungle, you know, shooting. I've got to find out the meaning of life real quick. So Krishna knows how to do it. He's done it before, he can do it again. So now, they're actually using that word in Australia right now. Maybe we need conscription. Our armed forces are undermanned. And we need to spend more money on military hardware. And guess where the money is coming from? It's coming off the social programs. It's coming from the dole. Something's gotta give. You spend more on military stuff, the social stuff has to go down. So now they're trying to figure out, you know, what are we going to buy? We need planes, we need helicopters, we need this and that. Of course, the American arm manufacturers are in ecstasy. Yes, yes, yes. Come buy from us. We've got the latest stuff for you. Send those Aussie dollars over. Yeah. One fighter bomber, $33 million, just for one. A helicopter, $10 million. If they would just give us the money they spend on one fighter bomber, we would do wonders in Australia. Just think, $33 million, what you could do for Krishna? So that's what's going on now.
East Timor, we could have some problem with the Indonesians. We're not ready. We need men. We need money.
So it all comes from the people. And when things like that happen, then you'll start to see young persons change their tune. Right now it's happy-go-lucky life. You get a little job, you get on the dole, the beaches are there, the surf is there. You can even go abroad, you know, just by being a dole budger. You collect enough money, go abroad, London, you know. Here, there, you know. Thailand, you know, you come back to your hometown and brag, yeah, I went overseas, you know, get right back on the dole when you come back, you know. It seems like an easy life. The beaches are everywhere, and you know, yeah, the drugs are flowing, the rave clubs, the music. Seems like it'll just go on and on and on and on and on. And that's why people aren't coming to Krishna consciousness, because they think it's just going to go on and on and on like this endless party. They'll find out quite soon. We don't have to look into crystal balls and predict disaster. Just know it from Bhagavad Gita that never in the material world has there been a time of undisturbed material happiness. Even on the heavenly planets, there are disturbances. What to speak of in the middle planetary system of Earth? So every once in a while, just when you think the party is going good, the roof comes down. There was just a fire in some raid club. I forgot where it was. In Sydney, just last week, they're at a raid club and someone got shot. Someone was shooting someone. But they didn't stop dancing. They just thought it was all part of the, you know. They thought it was like a show put on. Meanwhile, someone was actually got shot, but no one stopped dancing. They just, you know. There have been other cases. I know in Argentina, some years ago, they had a rave club burned down, but no, it was packed with 300 people. No one left because they thought the smoke was all part of like the show, you know? Light show, smoke, and so no one left. They were just dancing, you know, having a good time. And the smoke was in the air. And wow, this is cool. It was like celebration for graduating from college. So they were, you know, and they thought, this is wonderful. This is all part of the happiness. And so they all died. They burnt down. Finally, when they realized
that it was a fire, it was too late. Why? They raced to the fire exits, and the fire exits were locked. This is material nature. Everyone says, oh, that's a freak occurrence. No. The material nature is constructed so that all your plans for happiness are foiled, are spoiled. So don't think that this is going to be continuous prosperity and continuous beach party. It's not going to be like that. No. Already the anxiety is setting in. The social controllers are saying, we need money, maybe conscription. And from up north, that's the way they always say, the threat from up north. You don't say Indonesia, you just say, the threat from up north. That means you have to pay money, you have to pay with your sweat, you have to be conscripted. These things are going on. Then you'll see guys start to listen much easier about how there's no such thing as material happiness. So Krishna knows that. Krishna will help. You don't need a crystal ball to predict this. It's the way the material world works. Cycles. Boom, bust. Boom, bust. You see, in some countries, due to their karma, there's this appearance of boom and bust. In other countries, they're just bust. So this is the lucky country. So it gives the appearance of boom. Material world is all bust, but in some places you can dream that there's material happiness. Whereas if you're living in a place like, you know, East Timor or North Korea or whatever, then there's no hope for material happiness. Here you get the hope. So you'll see some interesting times, because that's the way the material energy works. Krishna's in everyone's heart. He knows how to arrange things so that people take Krishna consciousness more seriously. So our question to ourselves should be, what do we want? Do we want to be Krishna conscious? What is our motive? Why did we come here? You see, certainly most of us in the beginning just want material relief. And we like that about Krishna consciousness. When you're here in the temple, when you come here, when you're serving Krishna, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, reading Prabhupada's books, you feel a sense of relief. There's no doubt about that. That's very attractive. But you have to move on from that point. Because after a while, your memory of being frustrated in material life will fade. The very things that fried you out, you're going to start longing for again. That means that you have to cultivate knowledge. Knowledge of Krishna, whom you should be attracted to, and knowledge of the material world, which you shouldn't be attracted to. So don't just stay in the stage of material relief. You have to make further progress. This is what happens to a lot of persons. If you want to know why people seem to go after a while, it's for this reason. That they come here and they enjoy a sense of relief from the material struggle, but they don't make further progress to become attracted to Krishna. How do you become attracted to Krishna? By dedicatedly hearing about Krishna and serving Krishna. So often people come here and they feel that material relief for the first few months, and then they get bewildered, like, what am I doing here? What's really going on here? And am I sure this is for me? And they go out again. Krishna is not offering you simply material relief. That's cheap. Krishna is offering you himself through devotional service. If we're actually fortunate, we'll know how to take advantage of Krishna consciousness, which means how to develop attraction for Krishna. All the activities of the temple are meant for that purpose. So you don't have to bite your tongue and your lip all day trying to control your passions. No, you try to please Krishna. To please Krishna takes some commitment. That's why Narottam Das Thakur says, Kam Krishna Karmarpane. Use your lust to serve Krishna. How do you do that? You lust to use everything for Krishna's pleasure. That takes, you know, heartfelt desire. I'm going to try to do this for Krishna. I'm going to try to do that for Krishna. Just like during kirtan. Put your heart into it. Don't just, you know, be a wallflower.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Now you put your heart into it. Prabhupada's instruction was like a child calling for its mother. So those of you who are mothers, you know what that's like. When a child wants its mom, the heart is really there. You have to chant like that. Chant from the heart, and your body will follow. Don't chant mechanically or spaced out way. All right, it's time to greet the deities.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
No, it's your kirtan means your time for putting your heart into the topmost activity of calling out for Krishna. Try it. Your heart may have been wounded during the day. Maybe you had a, you know, some spat, you know. Maybe you had some disappointment. Still, just try putting your heart into chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You chant like that. You're calling out to Krishna. There were some eyewitness reports that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was chanting japa, it always sounded like he was calling someone who was distinctly there. If we chant from the heart with kirtan and japa, then it is very easy to feel attraction for Krishna. But if we don't do that, we can easily become bewildered once we get past the stage of just material relief. So what are our motives? What are we doing here? Why are we here? We're just hanging out. We got fried in the material world, so this looked like some relief for a while. No, we have to actually start working on our attraction for Krishna and working to reduce our material desires. But don't think it's like such a monotonous process, every day battling the same thing, every day the same thoughts come back into your mind. You remember? It can be done. You get stronger and stronger at it. Krishna's helping, but you got to be willing to work a bit. You know, you can't be so lazy, but that's the main problem in Kali Yuga. Manna sumanda matya manda bhagi vipajuta. We're lazy even about our own self-interest. So we need each other's association and support so that we want to work on the job. It can be done. Dealing with yourself is your number one priority. Here we want to deal with ourselves. Otherwise, you never deal with yourself. The material world means you live in illusion. You don't care about yourself. You don't even know who you are. In Krishna consciousness, you deal with yourself. What am I about? What's my program? What do I want? Be honest with yourself. That is what bhakti is about. How to honestly develop as a servant of Krishna. How to confront your illusory desires. And how to develop your attachment for Krishna. That's what bhakti is about. It's the real thing. Any questions? Yes?
You were mentioning the beginning of Asakriti, sort of a buzzword. At least in Australia, with paraphernalia sankirtan, used to be engage the conditioned souls in the gutta sukriti like that. But I mean, is that's not so much like I know I'm performing devotional service, it's more accruing pious activity in that making receptive.
A gutta sukriti is devotional service performed unknowingly.
It's actually devotional.
Yes, yes, yes. And it leads to more service. Yes? Just like, have you noticed? I'm sure it's happened to many of you here. As a devotee, you're going somewhere, and just for no reason at all, like someone comes up to help you. I remember I was just last week in last month in Melbourne. We had to take a tram into the city to go to Loft for preaching. And so we were just sitting there waiting for the tram at the tram stop. And all of a sudden, this lady comes out of nowhere and just walks up to me and hands me her tram ticket. And says, oh, by the way, you know, there's a problem with the trams in the city. So you'll have to wait a little longer. But anyway, here, take my ticket, because I think you get these tickets, free day tickets or something, for unlimited travel. So she said, here, take my ticket. So then she just walked away. That is Super Soul saying, start your devotional service somewhere. She thought she was just being a nice person, and she was being the best of the nice persons. So I said, yeah, I disagree with you. Or you might be going somewhere and someone sees you drop something, and they just pick it up and, oh, here, you know, you dropped this. That's their service. That's the beginning of their service. Krishna's watching. Oh, you have assisted a devotee. So they give money unknowingly to Krishna. They've still given it to Krishna. Nevertheless, it is better that they know about it. That way they get the maximum. When they get a book, they know. Oh, they're looking. This is Krishna. Prabhupada said here in Australia that if someone takes a book in their hands from a book distributor and just looks and appreciates, oh, this is a very nice book. Very beautiful. But, no, not today. They hand it back. Still, that appreciation is enough to give them a human form of life in their next birth. That's how potent this activity is. Actually, Shraddha doesn't simply mean faith as we know it. Prabhupada explains it also means appreciation. That's how subtle the beginning of bhakti is. Oh, that's nice. That's the beginning of bhakti. That's the beginning of Shraddha. So, unknowingly they serve Krishna, they get credit. Knowingly they serve Krishna, they get credit. Of course, the whole point is to be Krishna conscious, to be conscious that you're serving Krishna. But even unconscious service of Krishna gives you credit. Agyata Sukriti means the start of your devotional service, an unknown start. You don't remember. Many of you could have started like that in your past life. Other questions?
We were reading a few verses ago about being atheist of oneself in one of the verses, and I was wondering if meaning that doing violence unto oneself, is that the same as what you were talking about, not dealing with oneself?
Yeah, you don't care about yourself.
Is that what it means to
you? It's unconscious. Because you're part of Krishna. So you don't like yourself because you're part of Krishna. And you don't like Krishna. You're envious of your own spiritual existence. I don't want to look after me. I don't want to take care of my spiritual needs. But I'm part of Krishna and I don't like Krishna. So I don't like myself. I don't care about myself. That's actually what's going on, but it takes a real subtle vision to see that. I don't want to deal with myself. I'm just part of Krishna. That's actually what goes on unconsciously. Let me bury myself in sinful activities. That's what I'll do. I'll fix Krishna. I'm his part, eh? I'll show Krishna what I can do. I'll bury myself in sinful activities and then so I'll never have anything to do with Krishna. It's actually envious, being envious of yourself. You want to kill yourself because you're a part of Krishna. You don't like that. You're trying to get away from Krishna. So here in Bhakti Yoga, we want to put our cards on the table, so to speak, under guidance. Where am I really at? What do I want? Then you can see what your future in bhakti will be like. Because yayatamam prabhajante, Krishna says, as you approach me, I handle you. So we should think, which category am I in? Did I want comfortable circumstances? Did I want freedom from distress? Was I curious? Did I want knowledge? And now that I came with one of those four motives, what do I want beyond that? So don't kid yourself. Don't, you know, just go through the motions of bhakti and then expect, well, where's Krishna? I've been here 2 years. I still don't have a taste. You get what you pay for in bhakti yoga. You actually get more than what you pay for, but at least, certainly at least you get what you pay for. Don't expect to do things half-heartedly, mechanically, in a spaced out way. And then after a few years, I don't know about Krishna consciousness, you know, I was blissful sometimes, but you know, it just didn't give me what everybody was saying it should. What do you want? You figure out what you want under guidance and see how it corresponds to what Krishna wants from you and take things from there. We don't want a bunch of folks just playing let's pretend. That makes things very difficult, impossible to manage when that's going on. Let's pretend that we're all wanting to serve Krishna purely. No, let's admit that our goal is to serve Krishna purely, but we need lots of help to get to that goal, and we've got some things we have to deal with in ourselves. How do you deal with them? You deal with them by serving Krishna in a humble, honest way, under guidance. We need help how to get over our afflictions of lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion. We need help how to effectively engage in the service of the Lord. All these things require honesty and help. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, how does the fact that the modes of material nature can be used to liberate us, how does that sort of fit into the whole?
The modes of material nature can be used to liberate us. You must be saying that Maya means illusion as well as mercy. So, when you please Krishna through your service, which I know you're doing, so the very energy of Maya transforms into mercy. So instead of Maya impeding your access to Krishna, instead Maya accelerates your action to Krishna by Krishna's arrangement. That's the power of bhakti, that this very world that gives you so much problems and disrupts your service to Krishna can become an energy that, like a dog nipping at your heels, makes you run quicker back to Krishna. That can happen. The very thing that's bugging you now and giving you so many problems can transform and become the thing that's pushing you to Krishna. Just like a little kid sees some danger, maybe a big dog, and immediately, oh, better run to mom. So that's what Maya is like when you actually please Krishna. The purpose changes. But in the beginning, Maya's purpose is to make sure no insincere devotees get to bug Krishna.
Maharaj, it would seem then, based on that the modes would only give liberation to those in the state of distress, or can they also give liberation to those in knowledge, or those seeking wealth, or those having that curiosity?
Whatever motive you come to Krishna consciousness, you take up the devotional service of the Lord. Then, mamcha yoga vicharena, bhakti yogena sevate, sagunam samati jaitan, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. By constant engagement in Krishna's service, you surpass the modes of nature. You may have come out of distress, Gajendra called out to the Lord in distress. You may be inquisitive, you may want knowledge. Never mind how you came, now that you're here, analyze where you're at and absorb yourself in devotional service. Actually, everyone is distressed in this world. Some know it, some don't. Some want to do something about it. Some want to understand why they're distressed. Padam padam yadipadam natesham. It's danger at every step for everyone. except if you take full shelter of Krishna, then what used to be an ocean of danger shrinks to the amount of water contained in the hoof print of a calf. You step right over it. Krishna can do that because it's Krishna's illusory energy. Krishna can make it so it doesn't bother you anymore. I think we're getting a little late. Yes.
Just an announcement. It's just today is the Vasipuja Day, appearance day for Vishnu Swami. So I had it advertised to start the program at 12, but I thought it'd also be nice to have a Harinam downtown also. So I thought we could request all the devotees not directly involved in the preparations if the Harinam could leave downtown at 10:30 rather than 11 o'clock, just half an hour earlier, and we'll start the program here at 12:30. So those devotees who are going out can come back in time for the start at 12:30.
All right. Hari Bol. All glories to Prabhupada.